Good morning and welcome to Neocony View. I'm Peter Newman. After 12 years as a Tillamook County Commissioner, Mark Labhart is stepping away from that position at the end of the year, so we thought we'd get one more try to have a good talk with him. Not that the others have been unsuccessful, but good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Very successful.
Good morning, Peter.
So I got to start by saying there's someplace in the political manual that says if you leave a position, you're either supposed to do so because you're going to go off to a higher office, or you were defeated. And in this case, neither one of those.
Neither applies.
Did you skip that day in class?
No, I didn't. My history of I've been in public service for 46 years, 34 years with the Department of Forestry. For those who don't know, most of that was here in Tillamook, managing the majority of the Tillamook State Forest. And then the last 12 as county commissioner. And so I'm 65 years old. My wife and I, this is a pretty all-encompassing job for people who don't realize it. It is a lot of evenings, a lot of weekends. And I'm at a point in my life where I'm kind of said to myself, my wife and I said, well, we want to go have some fun. Because, I can't really be gone very long because there's always something going on. So this is a time of our life where we said, well, it's time for us to move on. I believe that everybody's replaceable and that they'll find somebody good to replace me, and I can go have some fun. I'm actually going to move to Sisters. We're building a home in Sisters. And some people say, well, why would you want to move to Sisters? Well, we have a couple grandchildren and a son and daughter-in-law that live in Bend. And so my wife and I both grew up in Eastern Oregon. I grew up in John Day, and she grew up in La Grande. So we're kind of going back home. Not that I'm trying to get away from Tillamook. We've lived here for 32 years. One of the greatest places in the world to live. A lot of friends. It's going to be really, really, really hard to leave this community, to leave our friendships, to leave some of the things that have happened here since I've been here. So long answer to a short question.
Well, take us back 12 years. What made you want to run in the first place?
It is interesting because when I did retire from the Department of Forestry, I saw, because I was intimately involved in forestry issues at the county level, I saw that there was a number of issues that I thought that I tend to be try to be a problem solver. And I thought, well, there's some issues that I think I could help based upon some of the skills that I have. And so I had some people encouraging me. Paul Hanneman was in the position at that point in time, and the rumor was that he wasn't going to run again. He was just going to be a four-year person, and then he was going to go out. So I knew it was going to be an open seat, and when you have an open seat versus an incumbent, you have a better chance of getting elected because a lot of times people vote for the incumbent. And so I thought, I'm going to give this a try because I think I've lived here long enough where I understand some of the issues. And so I got elected. In fact, nobody ran against me first. And nobody ran against me the second term either. And then I did have one person run against me the third term, an elderly gentleman from South County. And I asked him, I said, well, why are you running? And he said, well, I just didn't want you to run again unopposed. So I thought, well, okay.
So is it fair to ask you to give yourself a grade? How do you think you did?
No, I'm not going to give myself a grade. Okay. I'll let the citizens decide. I'm sure there's some that would give me an A, and I'm sure there's some that would say, well, we probably could have done better on that issue than happened.
So what do you feel personally what do you feel the best about?
The problems that I help resolve, both at the local level and the state level. And there's over the 12 years, there's a number of accomplishments. And again, Peter, you can't do stuff by yourself. I mean, you never should feel arrogant to say, oh, I did that or I did that. People have to come together to make to solve problems and to make decisions. And so, if it's not with my fellow commissioners, Tim Josie and Bill Bartline, it's with Senator Johnson or Representative Boone or Senator Roblin or other state agency folks. So there's a lot of things that got done, and not just with me. Maybe I provided some of the impetus to try to push an issue a certain way or certain things. And so, but it was with other people that we got things done. And it's local elected officials, too.
Well, you came into it as you mentioned with a career in forestry, and that's a big part of the community here and the economy. How do you think we are 12 years later in terms of resolving the myriad issues surrounding care of that resource?
Yeah, particularly the state forest issues. we're okay, but we can be better. And then what I mean by that is the Tillamook State Forest, it's my belief strongly that the Tillamook State Forest was put in place. I mean, it was owned by the county, and we donated it, or deeded it, I should say, to the state of Oregon with the stipulation that you reforest it, you manage it, and once it reached maturity, we'd like to be a recipient of the revenue that comes from the sale of timber from that state forest. But at the same time, protecting the environment, at the same time providing for recreation resources and producing long-term sustainable timber and the economy that comes around that, both with family wage jobs and revenue that comes from the actual sale of the timber that goes to the various taxing districts. That's the part that we haven't done a very good job at, as evidenced by the recent what they call a class action lawsuit. And a class action lawsuit means that a whole bunch of people were damaged by it. So all the counties, there's 15 counties that have state timber, and all the taxing districts that are in those counties, school districts, port districts, sewer districts, fire districts, all of those that benefit from the state timber, they have been well, the class has been certified by the judge, and now they are part of the class action lawsuit unless they want to get out. So that message is pretty clear to the state that you probably aren't managing the forest for timber revenue that the way you should. And so I think that's a little bit of a downside. It's too bad it had to go to a court case to get it resolved. It's too bad that we couldn't get somewhere with the Board of Forestry. But now it's actually a lawsuit. It'll go to trial next year in 2017, and we'll just see what a jury does in resolution of that issue.
You know, as we talk about that issue, and it occurs to me that in the 12 years you've been serving in your position as county commissioner, what, about six of that was pretty hard economic times, at least.
It was terrible.
I mean, you could argue it was eight. You could, you're managing a scarce resource, which is to say, money and the economy in there.
Yeah, it's
You know, so you had that going for you for let's say half of your 12 years. But in addition to forestry, you know, whenever issues like timber come up, or fishing resources, or all sorts of resources, I think to myself, can Tillamook do better in terms of diversification? Because it's like we build these hills that we get to rely on, and then something happens, and you know, you don't want to resolve everything with a court case either.
No, for sure, and I call them actually silos. Tillamook County is a natural resource based economy, but, and I say it's a big but, because you can't put everything into natural resources. And what I mean by natural resources, there's forestry, there's agriculture, and fishing. Those three resources will always be here, and they will always be part of our economy. But one thing that's a new silo, and it's always been a silo, but it's changing, and that is tourism. Our tourism economy has really started jumping in the last few years. And there's several reasons for that. One is more people are moving to Oregon. More people are moving to the Portland metro area. We are the closest to the metro area of, you know, we're 75 miles to Portland. And with that economy growing, people having more money in their pocket, more people moving there, they want to recreate. And a lot of them are coming to the Oregon coast. In addition, the Board of Commissioners and the voters of this county put in place a transient lodging tax. That transient lodging tax is bringing in about $3 million a year in revenue to do two things: tourism promotion and advertising, and tourism facilities. So we're able now to market Tillamook County of the benefits that we have, whether it's recreation in the forest, walking on the beach, coming down to see our storms, going to the cheese factory. We're promoting Tillamook County more, and we're seeing the benefits of that. And it's really cool, because that silo is starting to build up now. So we're spreading the wealth out across a number of different resources for the economy now. So it's not just dairy and forestry and fishing. So tourism is being added into that. And, you know, a lot of people are moving here for the what I call a quality of life. We have a lot of people that are retiring here now, and they're retiring here because of the quality of life. We have an excellent hospital system here now. It's just over the hill. If you want to go to Portland, to the big city, it's not very far away, but yet they can be here and have an excellent quality of life. So you see more people, our population starting to grow just a little bit, and we're seeing more of that coming in. So we're starting to, as you say, diversify and not putting all our eggs in the basket of, well, we'll just be forestry, or we'll just be ag, or we'll just be the fishing industry. We're going to spread it out and provide that so that we can offset some of that next time we have a recession. You know, maybe it won't hit us quite as hard. But rural Oregon tends to be hit pretty hard no matter what.
But, you know, those areas can be in conflict. People who come to an area because they want to experience the beach, the forest, they may be looking at a different kind of a forest than a forester is, right?
You mean clear cuts?
Yeah.
Well, that's true. And some people don't like clear cuts. You know, but what I say is, when you move here, you have to realize that you're in rural Oregon. And in rural Oregon, we do things that as part of managing forests is creating openings. Part of having a dairy pasture is spreading manure on the fields. I'd rather have them spread, you know, natural manure than some Monsanto product that, you know, is artificial. I'd rather them putting the manure back on the fields. And yes, it does smell, but you have to realize that you're still in an economy that provides for agricultural resources, forestry resources, you know, even the fishing. Some people say, oh, we're harvesting too many fish. I don't believe that. I think we've got good rules and regulations by the Department of Fish and Wildlife. So we're trying to manage those resources. But when you move here, you have to realize that you're in that kind of an economy.
And the economy itself, you know, whether it be traditional industries or tourist industries, you know, being able to raise a family and having a living wage, that's tough all over. It's especially tough when you're trying to juggle all these things you're talking about.
Well, it's particularly tough if you're in a tourism-related industry. And that's part of what the thrust of this transient lodging tax is, not to bring more people here in the summer, because we have plenty of people here in the summer with jobs to go along with that. What we want to do is bring people here during the off season. And during the off season, that person that's employed in that restaurant or that tourism related business, instead of just employing them for July, August, and maybe a little bit of September, how about we employ them in April, May, and June, and then go September and October? And that, we call it the shoulder seasons. Let's bring more people here during those kind of parts of the year. And then that way, we can keep our people that are employed in those industries employed longer and help raise the economy.
So. Our guest this morning on the Economy View is the outgoing Tillamook County Commissioner, Mark Labhart. And a few more months to go. You retire from this position at the end of the year. You know, I think a lot of things, what we're also talking about is just how to make sure that you can raise a family here, which involves more than just money. It involves schools, medical care, social services, agencies. Boy, you know, these are interconnected parts, and I guess that's when you're saying that's where you work with people and make sure you get it done.
You left out one that's really a big issue right now, and that's some people call it affordable housing. I actually call it available housing. We've got an issue with just having housing available for people. As the economy has come back around and people have more jobs, we're running out of housing, and it's not just affordable housing, but even available housing. You don't see a lot of apartments being built. There was recently a number of apartments built in Garibaldi, and it was a big deal because those apartments are now available for folks to come into. But it shouldn't be a big deal. We should be building more apartments in areas where you can, and so we can provide housing. We have a lot of second homeowners here. Instead of renting out their houses on a long-term basis, they rent them out on a short-term basis. So people that want to move here and rent a house, and they may not be able to find one because it's a second home and it's being rented out on a nightly basis. So we've got to look for more opportunities for available housing and make sure that it's also affordable housing at the same time. And that's a fairly big issue right now, and it's going to be a big issue, I think, into the future. And we're not alone on that. Clatsop County is the same way. Lincoln County is the same way. I mean, most of rural Oregon is that way. And you can see it in the Portland metro area. The rents have skyrocketed because there's just not enough available housing. And so people that own these say, well, I can raise the rent. And if you want to live here, you got to pay that high rent.
So in the day-to-day accomplishments that you're trying to get done with your job, you've got these big issues, and then there's all the other stuff, which is not unimportant either. You know, constituent services. So you've given me a list of things that you've accomplished, and it's a great list, but that it's a list on top of, you know, what you might want to plan down the road. So
yeah,
just professionally, how do you juggle the immediate? This is what we got to do today, but this is also what we got to do tomorrow and the next day, and so on.
Well, you bring up a really key point, Peter. There's enough issues every day called putting out fires where you could spend your entire time just dealing. In fact, just before we came on the air, I was talking with a constituent up in Rockaway Beach about his little road, and he's wondering when he's going to get some gravel for his road. Well, here we are talking about affordable housing for the long term and then gravel for a road.
Exactly.
And so what you have to be as a commissioner, you have to, what I call, look up from the bunker every once in a while. You're in the trenches, just pedaling like crazy, dealing with day-to-day issues. But it's really, really important for the next commissioner to make sure that they look up and look to the long-term horizon. Look at affordable housing. Look at the long-term issues with state forest. Look at the long-term issues about what are we going to do as our economy continues to grow. Do we have the right infrastructure for that? Transportation. We have a lot of long-term issues with transportation. Most of our bridges won't withstand an earthquake and tsunami. So we need to do some long-term prep, not only for the infrastructure, but for preparing people for emergencies. And then it might be just, you know, an issue of, I called the state and they didn't give me an answer to my question on insurance. Can you tell me who I should contact? You know, that's what I call in the trenches question. So you deal with those all the time, and it has to be a right mix, because it's sometimes it's really easy to avoid the long-term issues because you can deal with all the day-to-day issues. But a good commissioner, I believe, has to also look at long-term issues.
So now that you are these issues, a lot of them, frankly, come down to money. Where do we spend our money? Where do we get our money? Now that you're not running, can you say, gee, you know, this is a tax that I think is too high. This is a tax that I think is too low. We're doing okay?
Yeah, I actually think, you know, one of my last objectives was we needed to get the road tax passed. And for me personally, I said, you know, there's not any others out there that we need to be really careful of other than the library, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. But we need to – people are very tight with their money. They've got to see a direct benefit to them personally before they're going to vote for something. And the road bond was really important. It's a $15 million bond spread over a 10-year period that goes into fixing our roads. And that was taking money out of people's pockets that go directly toward roads. And so I pushed on that one really hard, did all I can to lobby for it, and it did pass. And we are putting all that money onto roads, and we're fixing roads, and we're seeing the benefits of that now. And so that
was still pretty slow going.
Oh, it's very slow going. We should have been doing this 15 years ago, getting money to gradually fix our system. And so we let it get so bad that the $15 million bond, we have an $80 million problem. And so I'm working really hard with my last few months with Senator Johnson, and she's part of this gang of 14, which is developing the state transportation package, to make sure that that transportation package has enough funding in it that right now it's set up by law that 50% of the revenue goes to the state, 30% goes to counties, and 20% goes to cities. So we need to pass that transportation package so that our citizens put skin in the game in terms of taking money out of their own personal pockets to fund the county program. Now we also need to get the state to step forward, and it's going to cost each of us probably some money to develop a state transportation package so we can continue to do the good work that's out there.
I was at a candidates forum for the other night for people looking to take your job, not at the county level, but at least at the city level. And this was for Manzanita. Probably the issue that got the most literally smoke, I think, was the issue of cannabis sales. And is that an issue that is relevant at the county level?
Not really. I just don't see it as a big deal in the county. I know it's a big deal in the city of Manzanita. They're taking another vote on that. But, you know, The city of Tillamook has a couple businesses, but we just don't see it out in the rural parts of the county right now in terms of having recreation businesses set up.
Not a county issue, really.
Well, it's an issue in the county because we need to make sure that we monitor this so that we aren't abusing the system. But in terms of licensing businesses for both medical and recreation marijuana, we haven't had one license come forward in the rural parts of the county. So it's mostly a city issue right now. Mm-hmm. So, but that's not to say that it won't happen in the future, but it's not like an issue that it is in Manzanita right now. So,
to take us to a little bit of a bird's eye view of things, as I say, it was at this forum, and it was a forum discussions at the state representative, county commission, city council for Manzanita. And it occurred to me, and I'm just interested in your thoughts as an outgoing politician, that while all of this noise is happening at the federal level and perhaps to some extent at the state level too, the farther you go down the chain, the closer you get to where people are operating, the less nasty it becomes and the more it's about sitting around and trying to work things out. I was just deeply respectful of the people who were looking at these offices and thinking, boy, I wish we could have these kind of conversations a little bit higher up the up the ladder. You know, how do you feel about that?
I have a statement that I use a lot. The best thing about being a county commissioner is you're close to the people. The worst thing about being a county commissioner is you're close to the people. And the reason I say that is because people call me all the time with state and federal issues, and sometimes I can deal with those, and sometimes I can't. And it's because it's local politics. They know you. They see you at the grocery store. They see you at the gas station. And it's not partisan. We don't deal with partisan issues at the local level. It's not a Republican or a Democrat or a nonpartisan or an independent issue. It's, when are you going to get my roads fixed? Or can we do something about affordable housing or available housing? Those are the kind of issues. And you just don't see it at the local level where it's acrimonious at all. Sure, there's tough issues that you have to deal with, and sometimes people are upset, but it's most of the time, can you help me solve this problem? And so I just don't see it as what you see at the federal level right now. I mean, it's just terrible what's going on, and it hurts me personally because some people will paint a picture of all politicians, that's what all politicians are like, and I say, no, that's not what I'm like. You know, we may disagree, our three commissioners, we may disagree, but we're going to disagree agreeably. We're not going to do personal attacks on each other. I may vote against the other two commissioners on something, and they may vote against me, but I don't take it personally. They explain why they vote a certain way. I explain why my vote a certain way. I mean, that's what I think our citizens expect. They don't expect us to be exactly the same on everything. They expect us to be independent, and they expect us to look at an issue carefully and then cast a vote. And if you don't like the way I voted, you can do that at the ballot box. You can move me out or keep me in the position. And thank goodness the voters of Tillamook County have said, at least for the last 12 years, that they appreciate that. And I hope that's what whoever replaces me is the same way. And one thing that I want to be sure and say before we go off the air is, you know, county commissioners need to be commissioners for all of the county that they serve. We don't have districts in this county. You're a county commissioner for the entire county, and you need to be in Nesquen as much as you're in Manzanita. You need to spread yourself around to make sure that you're listening to everybody. And it's not just, in the unincorporated areas where commissioners have a bigger role than in the cities. It's working with our cities to help them. Like this weekend, the tornado in Manzanita, I spent almost 4 hours in Manzanita on Saturday with a briefing with the mayor, the city manager, the Nehalem Valley Volunteer Corps, and saying, okay, now how can the county help here through this disaster that we're having? And there's roles for the county. What are we going to do with the debris? The county runs the transfer stations. So what are we going to do with the debris? What are we going to do with the wood material? How are we going to get it out of there? Who's going to pay for it? How's it going to work? What about insurance? Some people have questions about insurance. Well, the city doesn't deal with that, but I can tie them in with the state insurance division so that they have, and And do we need to provide more law enforcement up here? Because they have a very small law enforcement. Can we bring the sheriff's department up here? Can we partner with you more? How do we work together for disaster preparedness? Those kind of things. So that's what a commissioner needs to do. And again, I will say this, and I've said it many times. You've heard me say this. It's all about relationships. It's building relationships and working with people. You may not necessarily agree all the time, but if you have a good relationship with somebody, when a disaster hits or an issue hits, you know them on their first name, and because you've already developed that relationship in the past with them, you can hopefully work together to resolve issues. I wish we could do that at the international level, building relationships with other countries, so that when we have an issue with another country, I know that president or I know that person, and instead of saying, well, I don't even know who they are, I don't even deal with them, you know. That's what you got to do as a politician. You got to develop those relationships so when the real issues come up, you know who they are and you can sit down and work with them.
Yeah, you really hear a lot of that at the federal level where people in Congress, they go home to their districts. They really don't spend any time with their colleagues.
Yeah.
They don't talk.
Yeah.
So they just they're all dug in.
That's a little bit it used to be not at the state level, and it's becoming that a little bit at the state level that, well, I don't talk to them. They're a Republican. I don't talk to them. They're a Democrat. Well, what about thinking about what's best for Oregon instead of what's best for the party? That's what bugs me is, you know, you're elected to solve problems. You may have a certain bent in terms of how you think because you're a Republican or a Democrat, but Oregonians expect you to solve Oregon's problems. And so you may agree and disagree, but let's come together and figure out a way that we can work together to solve Oregon's problems. And this is what I try to do with the county problems. They're nonpartisan problems that we deal with for the most part.
So I think I asked you this something like 12 years ago. The position of county commissioner is a nonpartisan one. You're still very comfortable with that and
for
it? Oh,
most definitely. It needs to be nonpartisan because, like I said, it's we just don't deal with those kind of issues. We never deal with abortion or anything like that. It's local issues. It's how do we make life better for our citizens? How do we weave our way through the bureaucracy, either at a local level, a city level, a county level, or a state level, or a federal level? How do we weave through some of that to make this county a better place?
So. Well, Mark Labhart, thank you for 12 years of service, more than that, of course, but to the county, but as a county commissioner, and best of luck in the future.
Okay, well, I'd like to just close with this, you know, and giving this just a little bit of thought. It has been a distinct honor and a privilege to serve as a county commissioner. I think I've been doing it for the right reasons. I do it because I care. I did it because I really cared about this county. I wanted to try to be the best that I could be. And, you know, everybody's, you know, I've got my faults just like anybody else. But I would like to, for those who are listening today, thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the honor of serving as county commissioner for the last 12 years. I'm going to miss it immensely, but I'm also going to walk away with my head held high and saying, you know, I think that I did the best job I could, and I just can't thank the citizens of this county for giving me that privilege to serve them for the last 12 years.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our guest this morning, the outgoing county commissioner for Tillamook County, Mark Labhart. This is Peter Newman. I will see you next month once again for Neocon EU. Have a great day.